You probably remember how back in 2015, a young white supremacist walked into a black church in Charleston, South Carolina, and murdered 9 African Americans. Well, that was a life-changing day for a lot of people, including a white woman here in California named Lois Hambold.
I mean, this is just beyond belief. It was horrendous.
She's a historian, and the incident made her realize she wanted to do something to help the country heal deep racial divisions. So she co-founded a group in Oakland called White Awake. Now, with so much frank discussion on the national stage about racism and confronting bias, KQED's Farida Jabala Romero caught up with the group.
After the Charleston mass shooting, Lois Hambold noticed people were organizing on Facebook to protest and march. Hambold is in her 70s.
What can I do at this point in my life? I can't get out on the freeway and run from the cops. I mean, forget it, you know. I can't run that fast anymore.
So she posted a note on a Facebook page. Would anyone want to start a study group on anti-racism for white people?
White people have to be responsible for making a lot of changes. It's not just people of color who have to do the work.
Rochelle Towers responded. She's a social worker.
So many people of color have said, white people, educate yourselves.
They put together their decades of knowledge and activism experience to create a class called White Awake. So,
has anybody here ever had somebody say that they were colorblind? Is that something you've experienced?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
20 women sit on folding chairs in a circle at a church in Oakland. Michaela Danek is a high school science teacher.
Right, so it's like the privilege of being white that you can say, oh, you know, I'm colorblind, I don't think about race.
They're reading books like Edward Baptist, The Half Has Never Been Told, Slavery and the Making of American Capitalism. And they're owning up to their own roles in contributing to racism today.
I was a product of all the things I had learned. I hadn't examined myself.
Towers shares a time when she recognized her own racism. As the supervisor of a young Latina intern, she didn't introduce her at a work event. When the intern confronted her about it afterwards, Towers realized she probably would have introduced a white intern.
And I did what I did because I really didn't value her as a person of color.
Also in the room is Shannon Reilly, a Berkeley teacher. She says she's taking the class to help her students of color succeed.
I feel like white supremacy is a disease that we have, but we make other people sick. And it just feels like a responsibility to be less of a participant in that.
Reilly also wants to learn how to better prepare her adopted son for the world. He's black. As his parent, Reilly has become more aware of the hurtful experiences people of color can face. One time, when Reilly's son was 2 years old, Reilly's wife took him to the playground and came back crying.
Saying she could see the white parents trying to keep their little children away from our son because they felt like he was playing too rough. And it was like, by then we knew it was coming. We didn't know it would happen before he could speak in full sentences.
For parents and kids of color, this kind of thing can happen a lot, says James Taylor. He's a father of 3. He says he's frank with his kids about interacting with white people.
If they are nice, you receive them as nice and you accept them as nice. But there's also the potential that they're one of those reactionary whites who can be racist, and you have to be prepared for that.
Taylor is also a professor of politics at the University of San Francisco. He gives White Awake credit for doing self-examination work, but questions how much of an impact groups like this one can have in the larger context of systemic racism in America.
You would need radical, almost revolutionary transformation to bring about the kind of change that they're talking about. And you don't have the political will here. We don't agree around affirmative action. So how are we going to get to reparations or other forms of big idea reconciliations?
Taylor says when unarmed black men are still being shot by police, an all-white reading group can seem more like a Band-Aid on a bullet wound.
I can show you 150 years of good white intentioned efforts, and we still have Donald Trump in the White House.
Michaela News gets it. She's a software engineer and says you have to start somewhere. And she has the unique opportunity of talking directly with Trump supporters and her family about race. She says White Awake helped her do that.
They're right here.
News pulls out a cheat sheet. strategies from the class on how to talk to people you don't agree with.
Do you carry these around in your bag?
I do carry them around in my bag. They're good when you're frustrated to just have something to look back at.
It's steps like remembering to listen, ask questions, find common ground to bridge uncomfortable, even painful conversations.
It's not that now all my family is convinced and I've won. We're not racist anymore. But it no longer feels as frustrating. Like, I feel like I can't have these conversations without them immediately going nuclear.
She says fighting racism is a constant battle for Black people. She wants to take some of that weight on her shoulders if she can. For the California Report, I'm Farida Javala Romero in Oakland.